So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Proverbs 31. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 31. And if you're using the church Bible, Proverbs 31 starts on page 595. So the message this morning is going to be a little bit different than what we usually do, because we're here this morning not just to worship our Lord and Savior, we're also here to honor the women in our lives. This is the day we set aside each year to honor mothers. Chuck Swindoll once said, "As significant as political, military, educational, or religious figures may be, none compared to the impact made by mothers. Their words are never fully forgotten. Their touch leaves indelible impression. The memory of their presence last a lifetime. I ask you, who else has that kind of influence?" Now, I know this isn't an easy time of year for everyone. Some of you may have lost a mother recently, and it makes it hard for you. Or maybe some of you haven't been able to have children and have never experienced motherhood. But maybe you don't realize it. But even if you've never had children of your own, you have had an influence throughout your life over the young people around you. So let's use this day to honor all women, mothers, wives, all women who have influenced those around them. So let's talk about the ideal woman. What's the ideal woman like? Well, as you can imagine, you ask that question, you're going to get a lot of different answers. Some say the ideal woman is a woman who will obey every whim, who will wait on you hand and foot, and literally worship the ground you walk on. Now, I think the name for that is male chauvinism. Others say the ideal woman can do the work of two men. If women were prime ministers and presidents, wars would end, unemployment would be eliminated, and world hunger would be a thing of the past. I think the word for this is neo-feminism. But the truth, the real truth, it lies somewhere between these two extremes. In our passage this morning, we have a description of the ideal woman. In Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, that's God's description of the ideal woman. And God is not a chauvinist. God is our creator. Ladies, he designed you. He created you. He knows what will satisfy you and bring fulfillment to your life. Now, it's important to realize that the Bible, when it describes people, when it describes Christians, it's describing not perfect, but an almost perfect one, something that we aren't there yet, none of us. So this is a goal. The woman described in this passage is meant to be a role model. So keep in mind that this proverb wasn't written to make you feel guilty. It wasn't written to place unrealistic expectations on your life. This proverb was written to build you up and show you your God-given potential. Now, this proverb was written by King Lemuel. Well, nobody knows for sure who King Lemuel was. Some say that he was the king of Massa. Others say that he was either Solomon or Hezekiah, but nobody knows for sure. But whoever he was, he wrote this proverb as a poem. And it's based on what his mother taught him. So this is what the Bible says about a woman of integrity. Now let's read through Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every gift you give us, and we thank you for the gift of mothers this morning. Thank you for all the influence they have in the lives of their children, and not only that, but their families. So, Father, as we look through your word this morning, we pray that it encourages all the women that are here, all the women that hear this message, that they're encouraged to look to you, to draw their strength from you, to live their lives for you. Father, we pray that we all learn from this example. We pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, none of us here are perfect. There's no perfect man in this room. And there's no perfect mother or woman. But there are women here who have or can become women of integrity. And verse 10 talks about an excellent wife. And the Hebrew word translated as excellent here means virtuous. Some of the characteristics of a virtuous wife described in this passage are in verse 13, she's not afraid to work. Verse 15, she provides for her household. Or verse 16, she knows how to handle her money. Now, these are all great qualities for a woman to have. But these qualities come from something deep within the woman. They come from her character. They come from a woman who has integrity. What is integrity? Webster's dictionary has two definitions for integrity. One is firm adherence to a code of especially moral values. And the second one is the quality or state of being complete or undivided. And our first point is, what is a woman of integrity? Well, the woman of integrity is a woman who firmly clings to God's word. She's a woman who is complete and undivided in her commitment to God and others. Becoming a woman or a man of integrity, that begins by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, by believing he is who he said he is, and committing our lives to him, and also by studying the Bible and living out what we learn, by applying what the Bible teaches us to our everyday lives. So before we get to what makes a woman of integrity, let's look at point two, what doesn't make a woman of integrity. First part of verse 30 tells us that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Charm doesn't make a woman of integrity. Charm is the ability to win others over by saying what they want to hear and doing what they want done. The writer says here that charm is deceitful. It's fake. It's not real. Charm is trying to get what you want by becoming someone else. There's nothing fake about a woman of integrity. A woman of integrity doesn't have to charm her way into her family and her friends' hearts. She doesn't have to pretend that she's someone she's not. And the next one is beauty. Now, I think most of the world today must think that beauty is what makes a woman of integrity. I mean, makeup is a billion-dollar industry, and cosmetic surgery is very popular. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look your best. But I think we all know that beauty is going to fade. Beauty starts to wrinkle. Beauty drops and sags a little, doesn't it? The writer says that beauty is useless. None of us look as good as we used to. A woman of integrity? She doesn't put on her integrity every morning while she's looking in the mirror. Charm and beauty won't make you a woman of integrity. So that brings us to point three. What makes a woman of integrity? And the first one is her character, her inner qualities. First part of verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. So strength, and this isn't referring to physical strength. It's referring to inner strength. This is the strength that comes from knowing who to lean on. And that's Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word used here for strength means safety, protection, or fortress. A woman of integrity leans on the Lord Jesus Christ. And her children, her husband, and her friends and family, they know that they can find safety and protection in a woman who leans on the Lord. When the world's falling apart, a woman of integrity is always there in the strength of the Lord for those who need her. When the going gets tough, people search out a woman of integrity because they know that she is strong in the Lord. And then there's dignity. Dignity means someone who has a good name, a person of good standing. Someone whose worth brings them respect. A woman of integrity has a humble spirit. She doesn't stir things up. She stays away from anything that might cause her to lose her good name or her good standing. She knows the Lord and she lives for the Lord. She knows that a stain on her is a stain on Christ. A woman's character, her inner qualities, makes a woman of integrity. It also be her behavior, her outer qualities. Those make a woman of integrity. A woman of integrity puts others ahead of herself. Verse 12 tells us that she respects her husband. It says she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. See, a woman of integrity makes her husband a better man. That's why it says in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. See, a woman of integrity makes a huge difference to her husband's success and his standing in the community. Because a man's good reputation begins with his home and the integrity of his wife. And verse 11 tells us that because of that, he trusts her with all of his heart. She respects her husband, and B, she loves her family. She does everything she can to help provide for them. Verse 15 says that she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions for her maidens. A woman of integrity provides not only for her family, but also for her entire household. In order to have the food prepared for the family each day, this woman had to get up before dawn and start working on it, and she did it gladly. And verse 21 says that she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. So snow indicates the cold temperatures and the higher altitudes of Israel. This is saying that this woman anticipates her family's need for warm clothing in those cold temperatures, and she takes care of them. And then finally, verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's a skilled manager of her home. She stays on top of everything that needs to be done. And that means everything that us men undo. Then in verse 20, we see our next point. Maybe that was just me. Maybe that's not for all you guys. But in verse 20, we see our next point. She helps those less fortunate. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She doesn't want anyone to suffer. A woman of integrity recognizes the needs of those around her and does what she can to help them. Even if it's just sitting with someone and talking and visiting with them for a little while. And the last example of her behavior is D. She speaks with wisdom and with kindness. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. A woman of integrity weighs her words. She thinks before she speaks. I think we all could learn something from that example right there. So a woman of integrity is made by her character, her inner qualities, her behavior, her outer qualities, and see her heart, her spiritual qualities. The second part of verse 30 tells us that she fears the Lord. It says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, this means that she knows the Lord. Fearing the Lord means she knows Him. This is where becoming a woman of integrity, or a man, this is where it begins. It begins at the feet of Jesus Christ. She loves Him. She honors Him. She worships Him. She trusts in Christ as her Lord and Savior. So, we've looked at what makes a woman of integrity. And boy, it looks like a lot of hard, selfless work, doesn't it? So that brings up another question. Number four, what are the benefits of becoming a woman of integrity? And the first and most important one is a woman of integrity has a solid relationship with Christ. Now, a person may be a good woman, but without the Lord, they'll never be a complete woman. And verses 28 and 29 tell us that her children will bless her, and her husband will bless her and praise her. Here's what it says. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. A woman of integrity receives a great deal of respect. And she's earned that. She's earned the praise of her family, the respect of all. I mean, what could bring a mother more joy than to have her children grow up and praise her as a source of wisdom that helped make them godly? And it's not just the kids. She also gets the well-deserved praise from her husband. And another benefit of being a woman or man of integrity is she doesn't worry about the future. Verse 25 says, and she smiles at the future. A woman of integrity, a woman who knows the Lord, knows that no matter what happens, her future and her family's future are secure. And they're secure because they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the final benefit of being a woman of integrity is that she will be praised by all. Verse 30 says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman who lives a life of integrity, they stand out. They stand out wherever they are. It's recognized by everyone. And everyone will praise her for who she is. Not just her brothers and sisters in Christ, but everyone will see it. Now, when you think about the things that make a woman of integrity that we just saw in this passage, it may seem like it's out of reach. It may seem unrealistic. But it's not. Every woman can start becoming a woman of integrity at any point in her life. You know, there's only one requirement to get started. Becoming a woman of integrity begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Any woman or man can be good, but none of us can completely be a person of integrity unless we put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we live our lives in His strength. Not our own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reminder this morning of how we can become people of integrity by giving our lives to you, by following your ways, studying your word. We thank you for not letting us just sit idle. Your word constantly reminds us and guides us. Father, we pray that as we all leave here this morning, that we give some thought to these words that we've heard. We pray that we let them settle into our hearts and change us ever so slightly. We pray that we start living our lives more for you, for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.